Please welcome Gene Melter.
I have the second best top on tonight. I think you'd all agree. Thank you, Kirk. Good evening. Well, I've talked about my father here. I've told stories about my father, his unusual sense of humor, his love of cruel and unusual practical jokes. And my father was a difficult and complicated man, and I had a difficult and complicated relationship with him, as did all my siblings. He had 8 kids. But I wanted a relationship with him, despite everything, as I think most kids do with their parents. And as I grew older, I discovered that I could connect with my father through stories. Listening to his stories, he was Irish, quite a good storyteller, and sharing mine. And I learned that his favorite type of story was a story where a person's flaws and foibles were exposed. And so I'm going to tell you his favorite story of mine. So my husband Matt and I throw a Christmas party every year. And the format of this party changes sometimes. But at the time of this story, 15 years ago, it was an adults-only party held at night with food and beverages and maybe a game or two and music. So we'd pass out carol sheets and lyric sheets and percussion instruments, and I'd be on piano, and a friend would be on guitar. And I'm not a great musician, but with my definitive Christmas carol collection for easy piano, I struggle along. And I'm not a great singer either, but in a sing-along situation, I keep things moving. So this particular year, Matt, who's the host with the most, with his Santa hat and Christmassy tie, thought it'd be fun when he greeted the guests at the door to say to each person as they came in, "And when would you like to do your solo?" And usually the guests would do something like, "Oh, I just remembered I have to be somewhere," or, "Oh, you really don't want to hear me do a solo, ha ha ha," you know, something like that. And he'd say, "Ah, just kidding, come on in." Until Bess arrived, not her real name. Now, this story is not unflattering to Bess, but I'm not sure she'd want to be talked about in public. So Bess arrives, and Matt says, "Oh, Bess, hi, great to see you. And when would you like to do your solo?" And Bess says, "Well, let me have a glass of wine first." And I was watching this interaction from across the room, and I tried to catch Matt's eye so I could glare at him. Because Bess possesses a lot of qualities I lack. I could go on and on about them, but just in general, you know, she's tall and willowy and beautiful and graceful and brave and generous and bilingual and artistic, multi-talented, and one of her many talents is singing. So I was perturbed, but I tried to be the gracious hostess and I carried on, hoping that Bess would forget about her promised solo. And I knew that Matt wouldn't be stupid enough to remind her. But somebody must have reminded her, because an hour or two into the party, she said, "You know, I think I'm ready." And I said, "Great. What would you like to sing? Do you want me to accompany you?" Thinking she'd choose a Christmas carol. And she said, "I think I'll do Summertime." You know, the song from the musical Porgy and Bess. And so I rummaged around and found my Broadway collection and found Summertime in the index and opened it up and sat down at the piano to give it a try, and it was way too difficult for me. Big chords in both hands. I couldn't even fake it. I couldn't even get started. And I said, I'm sorry, Bess, I can't play this." And she said, "Well, that's okay. I'll do it a cappella." So then I went over to the couch and sat down. And she stood there in the middle of my living room, looking beautiful. And she sang Summertime beautifully. She has a lovely, soulful voice. And I looked around at the guests, maybe 25 people, and they were mesmerized. So, of course, when the song ended, everyone burst into applause and showered Bess with compliments. You have such a beautiful voice. Where did you learn to sing like this? This sort of thing. And amidst all the compliments, I hear this one very distinctively, and the compliment is, I love Summertime. It's such a great song. And I can't explain it, but without my even thinking, my mouth opens, and what comes out is, and it's so Christmassy. And there was just no mistaking the meaning behind this. This is bitter sarcasm. There's no two ways about it. And so now my petty jealousy is on display for all the guests, and there's just an awkward silence, which I then try to cover up. Hey, everybody, there's plenty more to eat, you know, dig in, this kind of thing, but the damage had been done. But I don't think Bess took offense, because that's how great a person she is. So then I limped through the rest of the party and went to bed feeling kind of depressed and, of course, ashamed of myself. And the next day, I made my weekly call to my parents, and they got on two extensions. Young people will explain that to you later, but like they always did, and asked me about the party. And I told them this story. And now my mother... They both really enjoyed my humiliation. They both enjoyed it, but my father, it just really struck a chord with him, and he laughed and laughed. I mean, laughing and snorting, he really laughed hard. And it was so satisfying to me that it made the whole painful experience worthwhile. So 2 weeks later, we go down to Los Angeles for my eldest sister's big, huge family Christmas party. Now, my father was always asked to bring along his keyboard. He was in his 80s, but he was still quite a good musician. He plays by ear. He can play in any key, by ear, any song. He's asked to bring his keyboard so people can sing carols. And he can play any carol, but he's not a good accompanist. And this is because he wants to be the center of attention. He doesn't want other people to be singing or playing instruments or anything anywhere near him. And this was a Casio, and a Casio with lots of options. So you can press a button and be in the instrument, or be all instruments. You can be a whole orchestra, and you can play music in any genre. So we might be singing Silent Night when suddenly it would turn into a samba. And then people would just sort of trail off, and he'd be left playing a solo, which was what, of course, he wanted in the first place. And sometimes my mother would scold him, you know, Paul, play it the right way. But he just ignored her. There's no controlling him. But this one particular year, 2 weeks after my Christmas party, we'd be singing, say, Jingle Bells, all in a group, 40, 50 of us, and it would turn into Summertime. As would Frosty the Snowman or Joy to the World, they'd all become Summertime. And people got really frustrated with him. And my mom would say, Paul, why do you keep doing that? But he didn't answer. And he'd just look at me and smile, and I'd smile back. And we had this connection. I mean, if only briefly, it was a real connection. And I sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful that we shared that story before he died. Thank you.